Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, and I am Puma.
And on this podcast, friends, we talk about
Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Everything. I love it. Yeah, guys, thank you again for joining with us. We are in our Real Love series. It's been a couple of weeks. It has.
It feels like a long time, and yet it feels like yesterday. So yeah. I'm not sure. what that means.
October has flown by.
Yeah, it's like life goes by. It seems like it's taken a long time for life to go by in very short moments. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old, Tori.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean,
you can go ahead and say it. It's okay.
Well, I mean, I turned 30 this month. So,
yeah.
I know. I'm not going to say I'm old because that might put other people in a older category, but I feel old.
Okay. Well, you know, again, here we go. Age is relative, right?
Yeah. Well, I have a list of all the things that I've wrecked myself. I mean, I feel old. I've had surgery. I've had all these other kind of things. And I don't know, when it comes to keeping a record of all the things that I've injured in my life, it's kind of a long list.
Yeah. We all keep records. Yeah.
we keep records.
We keep records of things. Sometimes the record that we keep, though, isn't always like a good record. Some things we shouldn't keep.
Right.
Like, what are some things we shouldn't keep a record of?
Yeah, man, there's a lot of things. Honestly, can I share a story, Puma?
Sure.
Of you say record keeping, and I got a confession session. I like counting things. I'm weird.
That is true. I remember in college, I came to visit you, and you had a professor that said something, a particular phrase. And,
yes.
And you were making tally marks. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, every time he says this one phrase, I make a tally mark. And he showed me a page of just tally marks.
Yeah. he loved that guy, but he said a certain phrase way too much. But yeah, I keep a record of things. One of the negative things that I kept record of was how many times I did the dishes. My wife, Emily, is the best. I mean that. She's way out of my league. And I, as you know, a newlywed. And so I was like, okay, I'm here. Dishes are there. Let's do them. And so I was doing all the dishes. And so I asked my wife, hey, could you like do the dishes once in a while? I feel like I'm doing it all the time. She's like, well, how do you want me to do it? So I show her, and so she starts loading the dishes, and I'm like, oh, you're doing it wrong. Like, the bowls go this direction, and you put all of the
You told her that she was doing the dishes wrong.
Yeah, that's a bad
thing. That is
thing.
A rookie mistake. Yeah.
First year of marriage, I have since repented of, but because she did it, in my mind, so wrong, I'm like, you know what? But if you want to do the dishes, like, do it, but like, if you're going to do it this way. She got frustrated, which I get, because I was being unkind, not loving, go figure, and so I'm like, you know what? Fine. She's not going to do the dishes. I'm going to do the dishes. And I'm going to keep track of how many times I do the dishes. And I won't bring it up until I've done it 100 times. That's how sinful I was. Ugh. Anyway, so I did like a fool. I did the dishes and was not gracious with Emily. And lo and behold, the 100th time I did the dishwasher and did the dishes, I went back.
So you're not even doing the dishes? You're just loading a dishwasher? You make it sound like you work at a restaurant where you're...
Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah, I slave 5 hours every night, you know, doing all the pots and pans. So you're just talking about loading a dishwasher?
I know. Yeah. It's the easy put in the soap, hit the button, and it goes. Like, yeah, it's not even like by hand washing. That's how sad this is. This is a confession session, not a do what Tori did.
Okay.
But I told Emily, I still feel so stupid. I kept record of, in my mind, was a wrong. She would not load the dishwasher correctly, and so she just stopped doing it altogether. And the 100th time I told her, hey, babe, just so you know, I'm amazing. You're kind of, you know, not. And I did this the 100th time.
Look how good I am. Yeah. Look at how crappy you are.
Yeah.
Wow, and not good.
I know. Yeah. Pro tip, guys. That is such a bad idea. Also, it is such a sinful thing. Like, not only did I just destroy my wife, and not only that, but I hurt God's heart by sinning.
So you think you're right by keeping a record of wrongs?
Yeah. Oh, I felt totally justified. Like, yeah, look at all the things I've done. Look at all the things you didn't do. And I kept track of what she didn't do. And that is so,
well,
so damaging.
Let me just share with you, Tori. You're the only person that's ever done that.
Yeah. Marriage is wild.
Yeah. This is why when Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, here, let me show you the most excellent way. Let me show you what love really looks like. Yeah. He talks about this kind of thing. We've looked at a bunch of things where love is not rude. Mm-hmm. Love, you know, is not self-seeking. Last time that love is not easily angered. And then he goes on to say that love does not keep a record of wrongs.
Yeah.
Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs.
Right. I was not in love.
Yeah. Love of people, love the way God loves, is not record keeping of wrongs. Yeah. I think it's okay to keep records. Some things we need to keep records of. Mm-hmm. But keeping the record of how people have wronged you, right, or how you feel like you've been wronged by people.
Right, yeah.
Keeping a grudge, I think this is where he's getting at. So,
yeah, grudge.
Yeah, should we explore this a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do it. Let's dive into 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5c.
All right, Tori, so we're talking about keeping a record of wrongs.
Yes, we are.
Translate that. It's this idea of having a mental checklist, right? Nothing wrong with having a mental checklist, but right, it's this idea of having a mental checklist of, say, grievances or offenses committed against you, whether the person realizes it or not or knows it or not, and you hold on to those and you kind of store them up for the purpose of using that list in the future. That's the idea that he's getting at. Mm-hmm. Another word that we might use for this, that probably more familiar for most of us, you hold a grudge.
Hold a grudge.
Holding a grudge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure no one has ever, I'm sure that's an unfamiliar concept to everyone listening to us today.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because you're right. This verse says, love does not, right? Here you have the negative part, not the positive. Love doesn't do this. Doesn't keep a record of wrongs or keep an account of the sins done to you. And you're right, because a grudge is, I think, a great word for that, because a lot of people, and we've all been wronged, right? We live in a fallen world. People are, people.
And it doesn't even mean that someone is actually sinning against you, but maybe it's just, how they say something.
Our interpretation of it.
Just irritates you. We talked about this last time we were together. That love is not easily angered. We looked at the Proverbs where a foolish person shows their annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. So it doesn't even have to be something actually sinful that someone does. Maybe someone just didn't acknowledge you, right? They came in and you thought that they didn't acknowledge you. I had this one time, a situation where I was counseling somebody at a restaurant, actually two people that were wanting to sue one another in the church, ironically.
Yikes.
And so we were meeting in a public place, kind of mediating there. And so there was someone else that attended our church that came and saw me and got really offended that I didn't say hi to them. I didn't even know that they were there. I had no idea that they were even there, because I was there focused on, these other two people and really trying to help mediate. Now, they actually held a grudge against me for that.
Wow.
Yeah. It doesn't even have to be something intentional.
Right.
We hold grudges all the time. We keep record of wrongs, and we make assumptions that people are thinking certain things about us or have said certain things about us, or we misinterpret their actions as if somehow they are not caring about us.
Out to get us. It's personal, even if it's not.
Right.
Yeah. Even with Emily, right? So I took her not doing the dishes because I was just being a jerk as a personal offense. And I kept a record of that. And you're right. We can interpret lots of things negatively as if someone is out to get us.
Part of this is choosing to love someone and almost giving them the benefit of the doubt. Now, are there times when people really do intentionally sin against us?
Yeah.
Yes. Are there things in the Bible that God tells us how to deal with that? When someone really actually does sin against us, what are we to do?
Forgive.
Forgive, or also to go to that person, right? To help reconcile that. I mean, there's we don't keep this record of wrongs, and we don't just kind of suck it up and hold it and wait for an opportune time in the future where I can pull this list out and slam it over somebody's head just to make them hurt like they hurt me. I mean, that's how unloving, how self-centered is that? Again, that's self-seeking, that's easily angered, those things coming into play.
Yeah, Matthew 18 is very clear on the order and the structure. If someone sins against you, you're right, go to them, right? Bring someone else. And it's interesting too, because when we hold a grudge, not only in my experience, but I think in general, when we hold a grudge against someone, whether it's a perceived offense or an actual offense, when we are sinned against or when we are perceived to be sinned against, one, the grudge feels heavier over time and it doesn't get lighter.
But it grows.
It does, yeah. Yeah. Ironically enough, when an offense that might have started out, I don't say 10 pounds over a decade, now feels like 1,000. Right. So it's harder to carry, but also it puts you at odds with the person whom Christ died for. All of a sudden, you've made an enemy out of someone who maybe doesn't even know they
right.
hurt you.
Right. Yeah. It's one thing when people do things intentionally, but when Paul's talking to the church, right, he's talking to the church here and he's saying, hey, here's how to love each other. Here's how to be a family. Here's how to relate to one another. This isn't talking about people at the ends of the earth. This is talking about the people that you live with on a daily basis, the people that rub shoulders with.
Yeah, every day. And
because it's the people that I see every day are the ones that offend me the most. True. I mean, people can be offensive, road rage and everything else out there. But, you know, in the closeness to my life and to my heart, strangers are way on the edges.
Yeah.
It's the people, you know, like you talk about, like our spouse, our children, our family, our brothers, our sisters, our coworkers, our neighbors, our church family, the people that we rub shoulders with on a regular basis. The closer the relationship, the more easily we can be offended.
Yeah. We can be triggered by those closest to us
right.
the most.
Yeah. And so this is talking about not keeping a record of wrongs with those that you live with, that you dwell with, to not assume the worst in each other when they walk in and don't say hi or say, hey, I'm glad that you're home, or, you know, they say something because they've had a bad day and it's not you. They're just expressing some emotion and it might be a negative emotion. But to be able to lovingly just forgive and not let that offense, store up in your heart and keep a record of that you can use later on. This is love ends record of wrongs, not keeps record of wrongs.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said about the not giving a good story for the unknown. Like, we never give a generous narrative of someone whom we're bitter against, whom we feel like has offended us.
Right.
And I remember that, probably about 7 years ago, there was a guy who was, I thought was my buddy. He was my coworker. He had some really cool friends, and one of his friends was very, very wealthy. He worked for some famous YouTuber, Minecraft guy. He ran his Minecraft server. Kind of weird. Anyway, very, very wealthy. And some stuff went down at my previous church, and his one friend still came by, but all of a sudden, all my support, all the like, hey, come like hang out with us, like all communication stopped because someone said something about me. It wasn't true. And the relationship got rift, and I didn't do anything wrong. It's just circumstances happened, and you know, my friend's friend, wealthy one, just kind of stopped talking to me. And I remember he pulled up to church. He bought a brand new Porsche 911, super nice car, like brand new, and which is fine. And you know, my first thought was, because I was a bit jaded, I was a bit hurt that they cut me off communication. My first thought was, I bet you he took a huge loan out for that. I bet that was a foolish decision. I bet he's super in debt.
My first thought would say, boy, I'd like to see what kind of a scratch my key would make on his.
Well, but then it got worse. I'm like, well, hold up. He's really wealthy, so he probably does have the money. And then I'm like, I bet you I could afford that if I didn't tithe. I started assuming, I know that awful. Isn't that awful?
That's not going to work.
And I realized, like, wow, I have no idea how much money he makes. I'd have no context, but because of my grudge and bitterness, I assume the worst. And not only is that unloving, that breaks unity. Yeah. I mean, we talk about 1 Corinthians 13, real love, godly love should help us, one, of course, honor God to keep us from sin, but it also brings unity within the body. And when we hold grudges, we make ourselves an enemy of the people Christ died for. And whether it's, you know, the church family or your actual family, there is no room for the Christian to hold a grudge and to keep an account. And I think the word here is very important too, because it's an intentional account keeping. It is, I am keeping a list for ammunition later, as if I need to, you know, ammunition, that analogy, to make war against and fire at my fellow person. That is so devastating. It breaks relationship.
Yeah. And this is where this kind of love, the agape love that Paul's talking about, and how all these really descriptions are all kind of facets of it. It's this love that is always for the other, you know, not to build up myself and my kingdom, but how can I build up or help, you know, those around me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, well, and it's interesting too, because when we are sinned against, because there are, I mean, I don't want to discount, there is real hurt. Some people have done some awful things.
Right. Yeah. This isn't saying, just be a doormat and let, you know, lay down. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit in previous podcasts, but, you know, love does not let someone, love doesn't mean that I let someone abuse me.
Right.
I let somebody use me. This kind of love here, we're talking relationally with the people that we are with, that I choose not to be offended and to keep a record of those offenses in order to hurt them or harm them sometime in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a good point, Puma, because we were not told to let ourselves be abused or mistreated. On that note, though, when we are mistreated, we are now in sin if we don't forgive them. And it's interesting because sometimes I want to feel justified. Like, well, no, if you knew the story, if you knew the hurt that was done to me, then you would understand my grudge. You'd understand my bitterness. And yet for the Christian, if God has so loved and forgiven us, even if we were 100% innocent, we need to forgive and hold it against them.
And we always need to go back to Jesus as the standard example of this. I mean, did he have reason to keep a record of wrongs? He was wronged all the time.
Oh, man, yeah.
I mean, the Pharisees, the way they would talk about him and try to publicly shame him and humiliate him with the disciples, I mean, they had many opportunities of their lack of faith and their just foolish behavior, you know, keeping a record of wrongs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as a loving rabbi, he wanted to help correct their ideas and their perspectives, and he didn't let sinful attitudes of the leaders go unchallenged and unchecked. But Jesus never kept a record of wrongs to use against them. And we know this because on the cross, he looks at those who are crucifying him, not just the Roman soldiers, but everybody that led up to that. And just this whole collective statement, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
That he assumed that their sinful ignorance and here again, a biblical worldview that people, sin is blinding, right? So sometimes, you know, as people are growing and trying to mature, they don't realize maybe how offensive they can be.
Yeah.
You know, so how can we come lovingly around them to help them instead of keep a record of wrongs to use against them?
Yeah, we should be quick to not only to forgive, but we should be quick to assume the best. An interesting study came out by Pew Research, and they said, it's so true, right? That people are about 5 times more likely to give a negative review on Google than a positive one. And that's so true. Like, I drive by and I see a restaurant, like, dude, that restaurant totally burnt my burrito, or like all these bad experiences. But I don't go around saying, wow, I had great customer service there. Like, I'm so quick to remember the negative, right? And to be bitter against, and maybe rightfully so.
Yeah, I have plenty of fast food places. I have negative experiences.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but we'll just leave that right there. You know, when you get a sandwich and the chicken is raw,
yeah,
that's a bad experience.
Yeah, that's not one you want to.
Yeah, endorse. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, second time it's raw, shame on me.
Yeah. But in relationships with people, especially the family of God, with people that God's put in our lives, you know, we really should be quick. You know, not that we are never not wronged, but we should be quick to assume the best, especially when we don't know the details.
Right. And we'll talk about this in a future podcast because, you know, Paul goes on. There's a few more in this list here in 1 Corinthians 13 where love always protects.
Yes.
Love always trusts. We'll get into that. You know, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean let somebody hold your wallet when they, you know, they're a thief. That's, we'll get into that.
That'd be good.
Yeah, but to always want the best for the other person. And keeping a record of wrongs, holding a grudge is not what's best for them. It's what's best that you think is for yourself.
Yeah, right.
You know, again, it's just, again, everything about this whole list that Paul has here, they're all different facets of am I self-seeking, self-serving, is about me, or am I seeking how I can love others, those around me, and in particular, those in relational context to my life, my church family, my immediate family, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers.
That's true. And Puma, as we kind of close this episode out, what is a good AQ? You know, I know we've said a lot.
Well, that's a good question.
Things.
You and I were talking about this earlier, and you know, as far as how to apply, you know, apply this. Obviously, if you take a mental note of the lists in your head. Are your lists negative or are your lists positive? When you think of lists that you have toward people, do you have like grudges toward some? Because we typically don't take a mental list of all the blessings that this person has brought into my life. You know, like how we appreciate, you know, like my wife or my kids or coworkers. Yeah, you know, the whole axiom, one of my favorites. I don't know if it's real. I know it's real in my life. Where two or more are gathered, there you have conflict. where two or more people come together, there you get to rub each other wrong sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to take stock of making a list of all the positive things this person brings into my life.
Yeah.
How my life has been blessed by this person. And my life has been blessed because God is sovereignly has brought these people into my life.
Mm.
You know, and so, you know, what kind of mental lists are we keeping? And if you look in your mind and heart today, you know, ask God to show you, do I have a mental list or a grudge that I am holding against someone close to me? You know, and if so, then take steps to deal with that, you know, confess that before God and to maybe make amends with a person that might not even know that the amends are fractured.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people never really know because it's not expressed the grudge that we hold against them. And I think that's a great AQ, Puma, that we should, you know, be quick to be grateful and to make a list of, like you said, not the wrong things, not keep an account of all the wrongs done to us, but create a list of like, all the great things that God has done for us, the people he's put in our life, and to thank people, right? I mean, Thanksgiving's not too far away, but it's always a good time to be thankful.
Yes.
And we're not usually quick to be thankful. And that's a good cue. Let's make a list of all the great things that is in our life by the grace of God, whether it's people, whether it's opportunity, whether it's job, whether it's family. Let's be quick to be thankful and keep a list of that. Yeah. No, that's good, Puma. Thank you. And guys, thank you so much for joining us again on another episode here in the Puma Podcast. We really appreciate you guys. Love meeting several of you again a few weeks ago. And you guys are such a joy. You guys are just great, encouraging, thoughtful, and challenge me to be better, to love God more, and honestly, to take his word as it is, not as I want it to be.
Yeah, to let God speak into our life so that we can be the people that he created us to be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. So thank you guys for joining us, and thank you, Puma. I mean, it's about gratitude. You are a huge blessing in my life, and I talk about you often, even at my church, and we have different churches, but my youth group kids know about Puma, and most of them haven't even met you, but I am appreciative of just your love for God, you know, and I'm going to kind of go off script here, but really, I was thinking just my past life, of all the different things people got to put in my life, it was your love for God's word that I saw as a kid that made me, my dad really loves God. And it was like, I didn't necessarily understand everything or maybe even agree, but there was an awe I had because I saw my dad so in love with God's word. Like, I wanna love this God that my dad loves. And that was just so cool. So thank you. Thank you for that. That means a lot. Anyway, back on track, guys. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your questions, thoughts, comments. I had a couple emails last week that I appreciated. So thank you for those that sent them. And yeah, hey, we'll see you in 2 weeks again, Fridays at 10:10.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.